Well, good morning, church family, and to those of you who join us in the live stream, how good it is to be together and to be able to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table this morning. I think that perhaps often I'm guilty of speaking too much to the head and not enough to the heart. And so this morning, God helping me, I want to speak to the heart a little more to the head, because after all, it is our heart, it is the inner wellspring of our being that is in the important thing before the Lord. So as we seek to unpack for a little in preparation for communion, what it really means to be crucified with Christ, you lay a foundation by just looking at 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian believers, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, this good news about Jesus, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I passed on to you of first importance was that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. In this statement to the Corinthian believers, the Apostle Paul says three things that are absolutely essential and foundational in the Christian gospel. They are the centerpiece of the good news about Jesus. In the first place, he died. Second, he was buried. Third, he was raised. This is the heart of the gospel. Three component parts of one supreme event, the greatest event of all time. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the statement of the historical fact, Christ died. Second, the meaning of the fact, for our sins. And third, the background of the fact, according to the Scriptures. The first, Christ died, the event that is essential to the gospel. Second, for our sins, the doctrinal truth that is inherent in the event of the death of Christ. And third, according to the Scriptures, why that embraces the entire Bible. From Genesis 3:15, the Proto-Evangelium, the earliest announcement of good news after Adam and Eve had sinned, right through to passages like Psalm 22 that Jesus quoted from the cross, and the suffering servant passages of Isaiah 53. It was all according to the revelation that God had given in his word, God's redemptive purpose, his story. Like we said, this trinity of truths is the center point of the Christian gospel. Without it, we have no gospel. Without this fact of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we wouldn't be here this morning. We wouldn't be gathering around the Lord's table to remember Jesus' death in his own appointed way. We're here for one reason only. Christ died, was buried, and raised again, according to the Scriptures. We are sinners, but we have a sin bearer, and we've come to say thank you to our precious Redeemer and our Lord. But there's much more to the gospel than that. Because we are wholly identified with Christ in his death for us, we now share in his risen life. Paul goes on to say in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15 that he was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. To the Ephesian believers, he says in Ephesians 2:6, God raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. To the Roman Christians, he says in Romans 5:6, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we shall certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We have been reconciled through his death. Much more will we be saved by his life. And so to the Galatians, he says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Now, what does all that mean? It means I have a new identity and I have a new destiny. And that is a life-changing, revolutionary, transforming reality. My union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection gives me a brand new identity, and it gives me a brand new destiny. Christ in me is the hope of glory. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. The course of my life has been reset for time and eternity. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, live, because Christ now lives within us as believers. As believers, one thing is for sure, we're not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God leading to salvation to all who believe. But what is that salvation? That salvation is being made truly human once again. It means the restoration of that which has been broken, fallen, and lost. It means salvation from sin's penalty. It means deliverance from sin's power. It means one day when Jesus comes or calls, we shall be saved from the very presence of sin. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, live, because Christ now lives in me in the power of his resurrection. So, to go further then, and to dig a little deeper, what does my new identity and destiny in Christ mean in practical terms then? Well, to the Galatian Christians in context, of course, it meant being free from the intolerable, impossible situation of trying to be saved by keeping all the commandments of God. Set free by the grace of God in Jesus Christ to live a brand new life under grace, where grace now reigns, not the law. What does it mean in practical terms? In the first place, it means you can put your failures behind you and move ahead. That's great news for people like me. It means I can define failure in a new positive way. To tell it like it is, it means that for me to mope in failure as a Christian is a dishonor to the name of God and a denial of the grace of God and the power of God. When I recognize my new identity as a sinner justified by faith in Jesus, I can forget my past and glory in the triumph of the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. I am no longer a disgraceful person. I am now a grace-filled person. The fear of failure has been washed out of my mind. Calvary delivers me from all my fears. It's a brand new start. My failures put behind me when I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, live with Christ living in me. What others think of me is no longer the most important thing in my life. What matters most now is what God thinks of me. And what does he think of me? He says, I have declared you not guilty on the basis of the adequate sacrifice of my son Jesus. He says to me, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says to me, I am at work in everything for your good, to conform you more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus. I have removed from you the burden of failure and taken that label off your back. In Christ, you're not just a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. Don't worry about your weaknesses anymore. That's the very thing that I'll demonstrate my strength through. The Lord says, I'll then reveal my glory to you. See anything that's happened in your past as water under the bridge? Don't let old failures hold you back. Don't let the past run your life. With God, your failures are simply stepping stones to maturity and fruitfulness. Practically, being crucified with Christ means I can put my failures behind me and I can move ahead in the risen power of Christ my Lord. Secondly, it means being crucified with Christ, I have been set free to live in the freedom of forgiveness. I have been set free to live in the freedom of forgiveness. When I find forgiveness at the cross, I am given the grace to forgive others in the same way that Christ has forgiven me. That's a very practical and powerful truth. You see, no person is free who is harboring unforgiveness in his heart. Whether he's a president or a pauper, he is a prisoner. No person is free who does not know how to live in the freedom of forgiveness. And being crucified with Christ, nevertheless living with Christ's resurrection power being experienced in my life day by day, not only sets me free in forgiveness, it sets me free to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Nothing can put a person behind bars and spiritual bondage like an unforgiving spirit. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray the prayer of forgiveness every day. In case we didn't get the message, it's the one aspect of the Lord's Prayer that he repeats and reemphasizes, saying, if you do not forgive those who've sinned against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. The greatest need of any human being is to know the blessing of forgiveness. And the power of forgiveness is the greatest power in the world. Jesus said as much when he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. If you do not forgive their sins, they will not be forgiven. It was when Stephen, being stoned to death, cried out like Jesus, Father, forgive them. Lord, do not lay the sin to their charge, that the power of forgiveness began its work in the life of Saul of Tarsus, filled with hatred and persecution for the Jews. Just a matter of time before he met the risen Lord of glory and bit the dust in repentance, and his life was transformed. My missionary friend, Roy Comrie, brokenhearted over his dear sister's murder in a home in the south coast of KZN, visited the murderer in prison, forgave him, pointed him to the cross of Jesus. That prisoner is now a new creation in Christ, a precious brother in Jesus. The power of the body of Christ is vested in its power to forgive. With the enabling grace of the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus within. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Forgiveness can heal the deepest wounds that lie buried in the human heart. Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. In Christ I am forgiven, and I must forgive myself and get on with the job of forgiving others. Which leads us to say that when you fully understand what it means to be crucified with Christ, thirdly, you learn to accept the things you cannot change. No one can change the past. There's very often little in the present that we can change and very little in the future that we can change. But we can change. We can change. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, live with Christ in you. In Christ, we're being changed from one degree of glory to another into the image and likeness of our Savior. Joseph couldn't change his circumstances in an Egyptian prison. Paul and Silas couldn't change their circumstances in a Philippian jail. But in Christ, God moved powerfully to change their world. In Christ, I never have to worry about anything that is out of my power to change. In the past or the present or the future, some things are unchangeable. Some things are inevitable. Talk to any pastor, he will share you with you a litany of situations, whether it's divorce or the loss of a job or the death of a loved one, or the wars that are raging and will continue to rage until Jesus comes again. There are some things we cannot change, but there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. There's nothing that God can't change if we are willing to be changed into the image and likeness of Jesus, and that's what it means to be crucified with Christ, nevertheless live with the risen Christ living within you. In Christ, I emerge with hope and courage and joy because I know I was created for something better than brokenness. And so I can pray the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Being crucified with Christ means I can come again and again to that place where I really do let go and let God have his way. And he breathes into my heart his shalom, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding, even in the face of things that we'd love to change, but we cannot. And we move ahead. Being crucified with Christ in practical terms means I've been set free to put my failures behind me. I've been set free to live in the freedom of forgiveness. And I've been set free to accept the things I cannot change and surrender them to the sovereignty of a gracious God. And it means, fourthly and finally, I'm brought into an entirely new dimension of wholeness. Being crucified with Christ, nevertheless living because Christ now lives within me, within you, means being brought into an entirely new dimension of existence. It's called wholeness, with a W. You see, salvation is not just rescue, it's redemption. Salvation is not just deliverance, it's restoration, it's recreation. God in Christ makes all things new. In what the Bible calls your innermost being, your soul, that even includes your mind and your emotions. That's good news for millions and millions of people in the world today who are sick. Sick in their minds, and controlled by their feelings. Sick in their minds and controlled by their feelings, millions of people live in that sad state. Mentally ill and controlled by their emotions and their feelings. Unable to face their anger, unable to face their anxiety, unable to face their fears, unable to face their lusts, unable to face their pain, unable to face their hurt, unable to face their sadness. Being crucified with Christ, nevertheless alive, because Christ is alive in you, raises you to an entirely new state of being. These things don't go away, but they can be laid out before the Lord and dealt with. If it were not so, I would not be here this morning. To feel these things like hatred and anger and lust and hurt and sadness and all the rest is to be human. To share them all openly and honestly with Jesus and to experience his healing grace and restoring power in all of these areas is to become fully human once again. To recognize that changed my life, I know it's changed yours. The recognition, the realization that a walk with the crucified and risen Savior, what Paul calls walking in the Spirit, or being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, to recognize that this being a new creation in Christ, as one who has been crucified with Christ, nevertheless raised to newness of life in Christ, unleashed a revolution deep within me and produced in me a gradual, progressively, emotionally healthy spirituality. And that is one of the greatest needs of Christians worldwide today. It is to have an emotionally healthy spirituality. What does it mean in practical terms? It means that the cross of Christ I can freely name and recognize and manage my feelings. I can express my feelings and my thoughts clearly, verbally or non-verbally. I can break from the self-destructive patterns of thought and behavior that once consumed me. I can be honest about my strengths and weaknesses and freely share them with others. I can love others without feeling I have to change them. I can be respectful to those who dislike me or disagree with me. I can give as freely as I have received. I can grieve as I've done this past week with several and give others the space that they need also to grieve in their own way. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so I can surrender to God's love in every situation of life. I can commune with God and give him time to work in the dark recesses of my heart and mind. I can rest attentively in his presence when I don't know how to go on anymore. I can just rest attentively in the presence of God. I can allow the Holy Spirit to work in all of my life, united with Christ, till Christ be formed in me. I have a long way to go still. But the great thing is that Jesus is more committed to this process than I am, the process of becoming whole once again. Christ now lives in me, the Christ who makes people whole again. And of course, to know what it means to be a person in Christ, to have Christ living in you, in the power of his risen life. You have to get to know the Christ of the Gospels, the real Jesus. And so just take a look at him again in the light of our fourth point today, that knowing Christ crucified as your living Lord, who is within you in the person and power of the Holy Spirit, knows a journey of wholeness that you would never know before, and know that the Christ is committed to that journey. So he confronts the Gadarene demoniac, who is possessed with a legion of demons. And what is in the heart of Jesus? It is simply this: to make him whole again. It is not simply to release him from the penalty of his sins or the bondage of Satan. It is to make the man whole again. Do you understand that? The motive of Jesus Christ is to make this person whole again, so that he is sitting there, transformed, clothed in his right mind. He is truly human once again. Look at the Jesus of the Gospel as he touches a leper that nobody else would touch, a leper who is an outcast of society. Jesus doesn't just want to forgive his debt of sin. He wants to make him whole again. And so he restores the man. He restores him in his innermost being. He restores him physically, yes. He restores him spiritually, yes. But he restores him socially. He doesn't leave him until the work is done, where the man can now freely worship God with others again, and assemble in the temple again, and worship Yahweh again, as the Lord of life and the God of his salvation. And Jesus touches a man born blind, but it wasn't his sight or just his sin problem. Jesus wanted to make him whole again. He looks at a little Jew who's become a branch manager in a sycamore fig tree, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today." And what's his motive? It is that this crooked man, tax collector, be made whole again in every part of his being. He comes to the grieving Mary of Magdala, out of whom he had cast seven demons, and she is weeping at the tomb. And he reveals himself first of all to Mary of Magdala, because he doesn't want her to grieve a moment longer than is necessary. He is the Christ who comes to make us whole again in the totality of our being. The task isn't finished yet, but it is going on, and he's wholeheartedly committed to it. And when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. For we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but it's no longer us, it's Christ living in us. I can forget my past failures and move on. I can be free to forgive and forgive and forgive. I can look at things that I cannot change, and I can surrender them to the Lord, who can change all things and know shalom. And I am brought into an entirely new dimension of living, where in body, soul, and spirit, from the inside out, Jesus is committed to making me whole. And when he comes again or calls, the process will be complete for each and every one of us who come here to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your beloved Son. How could we ever find the language, the words, to adequately express our thanksgiving that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we thank you, Father, that as those who have been so united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection, that we can say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
You paid for us. Now you gave yourself so completely, precious Lord. Now our sins are gone, all forgiven, covered by your blood, all forgotten. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Really love you, Lord. I will never understand why you love me. You're my deepest joy. You're my heart's desire. Complete.